Father, thank you for your presence with us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that he has come, that he has died for our sins, that he has freed us from sin, that he has been raised from the dead, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, and that he is coming again. Praise you. Hallelujah. We look forward to the day when our King returns. And so we bless you. I pray for our time that you speak, that my words would be your words, that your word, your holy word, the scriptures would speak to our hearts. And we pray it would come from your Spirit. Blessed be your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Matthew 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 32 to 35 today. You can tell the season by looking around you, can't you? So when the leaves fall off the trees, you know that, well, not in Austin, but up north, you know it's going to snow soon. When the city puts out Christmas decorations, that's a sign. You know, you can just look around you and you could know, oh, Christmas is coming soon. I don't know, in China, do they decorate for Spring Festival in advance? Okay, so when they put out the Spring Festival decorations, you know, you just look around you in the city, ah, Spring Festival's and another coming up pretty soon. When black clouds roll in, you know rain comes soon. When the traffic light turns yellow, you know what's coming. When the sun sets, night is coming soon. And at night, when the eastern horizon changes from black to sort of navy blue, you know the sun is coming up on that end. It won't be too long before the sunrise occurs. So in the world, there are all kinds of events that happen, and when they happen and you see them, you know something else is coming soon. That's kind of how it is. Well, Jesus talked this same way about his second coming. All these things I just gave you, he talked this way about the second coming. Here's what he says, Matthew 24, starting in verse 32. He says, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Now, in our context, Jesus has been talking about the destruction of the temple and his second coming in the end of the age. And so that was the original question verse 3. Tell us, when will these things be? That is the destruction of the temple that Jesus had just talked about in verse 2. When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he's been saying that certain things have to happen before he comes. And we've talked about them along the way, false Christs and false prophets and wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and persecution of God's people and lawlessness, the destruction of the temple, the defiling of the temple, the gospel will be preached to all nations. There will be a great tribulation. Then Christ will come. That's what Jesus has been saying. And when he comes, he says it will be like lightning in the sky, that all can see it from the east to the west. There will be no hiding the second coming of Jesus. The nations will mourn, and God's people will be gathered to him. Now, that's kind of a summary of what Jesus has been saying about his second coming up to this point. So then, when will this happen? See, that was the original question in verse 3. When will this happen? Jesus says this, verse 32. When you see the fig tree putting out leaves, you know summer is near. And in the same way, verse 33, when you see all these things, you know Jesus' coming is near. That's what he's saying. When you see these things, it's near. And what are all these things? In verse 33. So also, when you see all these things, that's kind of like a vague reference, right? And so, what are they? Well, Jesus has been talking already within the context of all the things that precede his coming. When you see false Christs and wars and earthquakes and lawlessness, when you see the temple destroyed and defiled, when you see persecution of God's people, when you see all these things, know that he is near. That's what all these things is referring to. It's referring to all the things he's just been talking about that precede his coming. All these things is not talking about his coming itself. That doesn't even make any sense in the verse. Because when you see all these things, know that he hasn't come yet. But it's near. Then in verse 34, he says all these things will happen soon. So, let me read it. He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. This has been a very difficult verse for a lot of people. Because if you just sort of read it by itself, it sounds like he's saying that this generation will not pass away until he comes. But he hasn't come. And so there are people, particularly people who are not Christians, who will say, see, Jesus said he would come in his generation, and he hasn't. So he's obviously false. And it's actually a fairly common objection to the Gospels that you'll hear from people. If you haven't heard it yet, you will. But I don't think that that's what verse 34 is saying. I don't think it is saying Jesus will come in his generation. Only if you sort of read it by itself with an understanding that he's talking in general about his second coming in the broader discourse, maybe you could see it that way. But if you begin at verse 3 and you read through the whole thing, like we just kind of did, I sort of summarized all what's been going on, and you pay attention to verse 33, which is the verse immediately before verse 34, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying he's going to come. So he says, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. The key in addressing that verse is two questions. One is, who is this generation? And the second one is, what are all these things? You have to answer those two questions. Now, I believe this generation is referring to the generation in Jesus' day. And so the translation, this generation, I think is a good translation. Now, it is true that the word generation can mean other things like this race or this people. But I think the plainest reading is that Jesus is referring to his time, the people. That's what I think. Though there are people who will argue that this generation is referring to this generation would be the generation of the people who are experiencing the great tribulation at the end, and that's the generation he's talking about. To me, it just makes more sense. It's plainer that his readers, when they heard that, would be thinking of themselves. But what are all these things that this generation will see? What are they, all these things? Well, I don't think all these things include his second coming. Because of what we just talked about in verse 33. See, in verse 33, if you look at it, Jesus uses the exact same phrase. In verse 33, he says, "When you see all these things, you know that he is near." And in verse 33, all these things very clearly does not refer to his second coming, because his second coming comes after you see all these things. And so all these things is referring to all that other stuff that we were talking about earlier. Now, all these things in verse 34, I believe, means exactly the same thing that it means in verse 33. Jesus just used the phrase, all these things, and then he used the same phrase again. This generation will not pass away until all these things take place. That's the context. What Jesus is saying is that in his generation is going to see all the stuff that he just listed. That he says come before his coming, his return. They're going to see all these things mentioned in 4 through 28. They're going to see false Christs and false prophets. His generation is going to see wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and persecution. They are going to see the temple defiled and the temple destroyed. They are going to see great tribulation. Now, the fact of the matter is that they did see all that stuff. That's all verse 34 is saying. Now, this doesn't mean the tribulation is done. It doesn't mean there's, you know, not more to come. It doesn't mean that there's not a great one at the end. It doesn't mean things won't get worse. All it means is they saw all that stuff. That's all it means. What they saw is a preview of what's to come, kind of like a trailer of a movie, so to speak. They didn't see the full movie, but they saw all those things in the trailer. What it also means is that Jesus' return is near, because that's what he said in verse 33. When you see all these things, know that, you know, he is near at the very gates. He's coming soon. Now, he doesn't define what soon or near means, but it does mean this. You'd better be ready. It does mean that. And then in verse 35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Just for a moment, think about that. Heaven and earth will pass away. That means earth is temporary. It will pass away. That's actually backwards from how our culture thinks. You know, if you talk to just the average guy on the street, you would get the sense that it's just the other way around. That earth is, you know, whatever, 4 billion years old, and it's going to go on, and we're just a blip passing through. That's the way the culture typically thinks. But biblically, it's just the opposite. Biblically, we are eternal, and earth is just a blip passing through. Even if it is 4 billion years old, that's just a blip to eternity. Biblically, Jesus' words are eternal, and earth will be gone. I mean, do you realize that? Earth is temporary, guys. It will be gone. So why then do we live for earth and ignore Jesus' words? It makes no sense. Why do we live for the right job or our health or marriage or this relationship or whatever, but we never repent, which are Jesus' words? We ignore Jesus' words and live for this earth stuff that will pass away, but his words are eternal. We ignore what's eternal. We live for what's going to be here and gone tomorrow. We live for self here on earth and ignore Jesus' call for us to die to self, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We ignore that and wind up living for self, which is temporary. We live for what's easy and comfortable when Jesus calls us to take up our cross. It's a really bad trade. I mean, it's a really bad trade. If you live for this earth, understand this. Just understand it very clearly. Heaven and earth will pass away. And when that happens, everything that you are living for will be gone. Gone. If we ignore Jesus' words, if we never repent of sin, we never die to self, we never take up our cross, we just live for what's easy and comfortable, we never come to Jesus, we never live for Jesus, understand that Jesus' words, the words that we ignore, will never pass away. They're eternal. You can't change that. Nobody can change that. Jesus' words are the standard for life. Whether you like it or not. It's not like you get to invent your own standards. That's how the West thinks. America thinks this way, that you get to invent your own reality. You get to invent your own identity. You get to invent your own happiness. You get to invent your own whatever it is. It's all up to you. You decide what's true. You decide what you like. You decide whatever. You decide everything. That is completely not biblical. You actually don't get to decide most things in life. It's like America. I mean, what if we did this with gravity? Gravity pulls you to the ground, and you have no choice in that. It does that whether you like it or not. So what if you just decided, well, I'm just going to decide my own reality. I'm a bird. And I'm just going to jump off this cliff. It just doesn't work that way. We really do understand there are realities that we don't control. We don't get to choose. We don't get to decide our own all sorts of things. One day, your current body will grow old and die, and you have no choice in that. It is going to happen. And there are many things that just are, and you don't get to make them up. Now, in the spiritual world, Jesus' words are those things. What he says about life is the way that it is. If you lose your life for Jesus, you gain it. If you don't lose your life for Jesus, you will lose your life forever. Jesus died for your sins. That means reject him and you reject the payment of your sins. Jesus is risen from the dead. That means reject his lordship and you're an outcast forever. Jesus is coming again. That's what he's been talking about here. That is as certain a future event as your coming death. You know one day you're going to die, but you don't know the day. You don't know the hour or the day when you will die. In the same way, you know he's coming again, but you don't know the hour or the day. It's the same. It's just as certain. Because his words will never pass away. You will not avoid Jesus, ever. You cannot avoid Jesus. If you avoid him now, you meet him later, and you won't like it. Because his words will never pass away. They will come back, and you'll be judged by what you have done with them. Because they're eternal. And so give Jesus your life. Give him your heart. Give him your praise. Give him everything and be ready because he's coming again. What I want to do is close with prayer, just have us pray. And I'm going to ask us to pray for one another. And let's pray. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's pretty serious. I want us to pray for God to help us take his words seriously. And let's do this. Let's pray. Hande, you pray for somebody else here. Leanne and I, we can pray for somebody else here. And Maggie. And let's just pray for one another. We'll just have a time. We'll take turns. Pray aloud for one another that we would really take seriously what Jesus has said. So I'm just going to open it up. Pray for somebody else to do that.